Got a little thought I'd like to encourage us with. Encourage us to keep going.
Amen.
And not to quit.
Yes.
I want to start in Luke. I know only God knows. There'd be no way of knowing, but it would be interesting to know how many people have started on the Christian run and quit. I wonder what the percentage of people that start finish. I've known a lot of people that started and they quit. Somewhere along the lines, something touched them, something moved them, something happened. Well, we have a lot of scriptures we could go to. I think of the scripture of Jesus' disciples that walked no more with him. I think of the sower. Sowed the seeds. We get an idea there. Some sprouted to different places and things. Things happen to deter them along their normal course. But we don't want to be a part of that statistic.
Yes.
So Lord, help us to set a new resolve, a determination, a new passion, that the Lord would help us to be able to be successful, and that we would have the grace to be able to go through whatever comes our way, to be able to be faithful,
yes,
determined to go no matter what. There's a familiar scripture in 18th of Luke. I'll pick it up at the first verse. It says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint."
Yes.
My margin says, lose heart. Not to lose heart. But to be determined that we can, by the help of the Lord, pray our way through this life. We can pray our way through with success. If I look around at the storms and look around at the situations, get my eyes off the Lord and get in on that, I'll get discouraged.
Yeah.
That happens to a lot of people. But when I begin to look unto the Lord, and I'll say something that's a big encouragement to me, I can look on those that went before me.
Yeah.
And get the courage to see what they did. The Bible was, a lot of things in the Bible was given to us for that specific purpose, that we could take heart, not lose heart, but gain strength by what the Lord has done in other people's lives, knowing that the Lord isn't a respecter of persons, and if he done it for them, he'd do it for me. Well, Paul was a little special, wasn't he, Sister Maxine? He probably done a little bit more for Paul than he would for me, right? I don't think so. I think that if I get myself into the same place with the same faith and the same furnace, that God will meet me the same way he did him. Because
yeah,
it's God that's the same. So, Lord, help us not to lose heart in these battles. We will have intense battles sometimes. Sometimes we'll have emotional battles.
Yes.
The hardest thing... Some of the hardest things in my life has been mental battles, either me or somebody else. Them are tough. They're tough. But people have their different ones, but battles can get long. They can get long. But don't lose heart.
Yes.
Be encouraged that God is in all of this. And that God is in control. And he's got something beautiful ahead for us. It says, saying, "There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither there regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? That's what I want to focus in on a little bit this afternoon. We think of that scripture often. I hear it quoted. Will he find faith on the earth when he comes? We think of that in the general idea of faith and what it means to have faith. But we don't have to do that in this scripture, because this scripture particularly tells us what he's talking about. He's talking about when he comes, will there be the attitude of praying to him day and night?
Yes.
That's particularly what he's saying, and that no matter what the situation is, no matter what comes our way, that our answer is God. That's what he's particularly pointing to, the fact that this woman isolated everything down to this one idea. That there was a judge.
Yeah.
And that was her only way of help. She did not give up on the idea of it. She didn't get discouraged when it didn't come. She did not let it interfere with her. You remember the woman that says to the Lord, I believe that her daughter was sick.
Yes.
And she said, she sought the Lord for some help. And the Lord used words that wouldn't say well with us very well. I mean, is it proper that you would take the children's bread and give it to the dogs? But being undeterred, what would it take today to deter you? This is specifically the faith that the Lord is talking about. Will he find it? Will there be people still that the heart is, not that they don't believe that Jesus, I don't believe that. I think he wasn't talking about the idea that Jesus come or that Jesus is real or anything like that. But will there be a faith of having it down that God's our answer, and if we don't get it from him, we don't get an answer?
Yes.
We don't have an answer without him. Crying day and night. That's a challenge. And again, I deal in the realities of things, and that's down in the realities of it. To cry day and night, to have a sincere need in my soul, something that I say that I'm going to get this answer. I am going to pursue this till I get the answer. And the obvious question to most of us is. When do you stop? I'm going to ask that question. Because this is a faith. The faith he's looking for is the one that don't quit without the answer.
Yes.
This reminds me of some in the scriptures. Jacob got a hold with the angel, you remember? And he's wrestling. And what did he say? I'm not going to let you go.
Yes.
Till you bless me.
Yes.
I'm going to hold on to you for a half hour. You better bless me.
Yes.
Or I'll hold on for a while. I'm going to hold on for a day. No, he said, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. That's a simple answer, folks. I ain't letting go till you bless me. How long will that take? As long as it takes. Will I find faith? Is what he's saying. Will I find faith on the earth of a people still that hasn't allowed the modern world to take that away? Why, Sister Maxine, that's ridiculous. You got help right in front of you. All you got to do is go get it. Or you got this answer over here. All you got to do is give it. You're going to do that? For that, well, maybe they're right. Maybe I am looking a little silly. I better change. Will I find faith on the earth? He said, will I find somebody? Will I find people that's willing to call on me day and night till the answer comes? Till I get the answer? How long was it? This doesn't say. It doesn't say. It's just importuned. And at first the judge said, I'm not going to do it. And she just kept coming. Kept persisting. God is not an unjust judge. But this one was. And the analogy is that by this importuning, she turned the heart of a bad judge. He's saying, how much more? How much easier is it to turn the heart of a loving God? It's already on your favor anyway. Yes. Will I find a people that will be willing to stay with me in this modern world with all that you can do to satisfy yourself, to take care of yourself, all that you can find? Will there still be someone that's willing to cry day and night? Well, Lord help us. That is a challenge. There was a time that Daniel went into a fast. Scripture says that he fasted for 21 days. When the angel come and spoke to him, said, after 21 days of fasting, said, I heard you the first day. But it was in a war, whatever. But you're here now. What did Daniel say? I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. I'm going to fast for X amount of days. And if it don't come, it don't come. You know what he said? I'm going to fast till the answer comes. I'm going to continue with this until I touch the throne. Until I touch God. It wasn't not putting a limit on it of how much it's going to take or how far I'm going to go. Lord, help us in our determination today to live for God with our whole heart, with the determination. I'm going to tell you, I've been saved since, it's hard for me to remember now, but let's see. It's 30, going on 31. I just passed 31 years. 31 years. And when I got saved, I never had any mind of going back to the hog wallow that I was in. I never had any. I've stumbled. I've stumbled. I've not always been what I'd like for. I think the Lord would say that about me. But I want to say this. I don't have any want to go back to that world. That life that I had then. I have no reason to want to go and do that. I have every reason to want to go on and be faithful to the Lord and see what's behind us. I've invested some things now. Got some things invested. And I want to see what the end of this thing's really about. Yes. Lord, help me. You pray for me because I recognize the strains. I recognize the world that's around there that is always tempting. It's always suggesting an easier way. It's always suggesting that you don't have to put out that kind of effort. You don't have to have that kind of desire. You don't have to pray like that. You don't have to do that. But the scripture says that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Yes, amen.
Effectual fervent. 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 How do I make myself that? Lord, help us to have the desire in our hearts to be able to press the battle on. In this time world, there's an old saying out there, it's kind of in the world, the Marines are looking for a few good men. It sounds like that's all they need is a few good ones. But you know, I could say the same thing. God's looking for a few good men and women. God can do so much with one person.
Yes.
One person surrendered to God can do so much. One that's not willing to give in, not willing to give up, not willing to turn to the arm of flesh, the ways of the world. Listen, folks, we live in such a time. It's just the time we live in. There are so many things to entertain yourself with. Entertainments are everywhere. We project out what's important to us. Do you know that? Everybody knows what's important to us. I mean, our families do. I mean, my daughter's here, so I can say she knows this. A lot of times they make fun of me. They'll come in. I'm sitting in my recliner with my headphones on because nobody else there wants to hear the news. But I do, so I have headphones. I put the headphones on, I'm listening to the news. And everybody always making fun of me because I'm sitting and listening to the news. Well, they would say, it must be important to him. Well, that's right. And everything that we do has a certain amount of importance to it. How important is the Lord to you today? It's a question, really. One to be answered by you. In reality. How important is the Lord? Is he valuable? Is the service of the Lord valuable?
Yes.
Now, I told you something in Wichita, but this was funny to me. And I'm going to go ahead and tell his name. He's long gone now. And he was a good man. And he got old and he was a little feeble of mind. But it was Brother Donald. Brother Donald come up to me one Monday. And he says to me, this is he's old, not before, long before he died. He said to me, Brother Marty, the reason I wasn't in service yesterday was because I had to go buy groceries. And I was like, I didn't say nothing to Brother Donald. I didn't get on to him for not being in service, or I wasn't saying nothing to him. I said, okay. And he said, well, you have to eat. Truth. I didn't say you didn't have to eat. I didn't say no. I hadn't said anything. I was just there bringing. You got to eat. Well, that's true. And I just waited a little bit, and he was kind of like, and I said, what'd you do Saturday? Yeah, I just kind of said, what'd you do Saturday? And he said, you know, we do what we want to do. We do. And there's no reason to put on a facade or something that's pretense about it. We all can answer today about what it means to us. Can't we?
Yes.
What does it mean to me? How important is it to my soul? That's the bottom line. You have to tell the Lord. You wouldn't tell me this, but I mean, somebody come up to me and tell me why you didn't pray this morning. I didn't say you did. I don't know, but the Lord knows.
Yes.
How important is that? Is he going to find somebody in whenever this is? I mean, we're in 2017, and what a world we're starting to live in. But as it goes on, with technology going, you know, they're looking now. They found 7 planets circling a nearby star that looks real close to what Earth is. And they're all excited about it because it's in the same kind of a position. 3 of them are fairly close to one another too. And they're in a situation that they're really excited about it because it's in a situation that looks like there could be life on that planet. They're pretty excited about that. And they said, don't worry about getting there anytime soon. If you started today, you wouldn't get there in about 40 million light years. So don't worry about going. But that kind of stuff's out there. Oh, the information, the understandings, the things they're going, and and all these things. I heard recently, I have to take it as truth, it was told for the truth that they're actually using some kind of a plasma deal, and this is a computer type thing that they're actually on the verge of Xeroxing body parts in a sense, till they can actually make your body parts from your DNA, and they're working hard on it to be able to make you live forever by new body parts. Wait, they're going for it, right? Doing all that. And in a world like that, God has said, will I find somebody in a time of push button, in a time that information, in a time that I can have the gizmos to keep in direct contact with people all over the planet at the same time, texting and contacting and doing all these things. And I got the base, the bank of entertainment bank to pull out probably most or 90% of every movie that was ever made, all the songs that was ever sung, all the things that's ever done. There's a base somehow to go and involve myself totally with all of that and every philosophy that somebody ever developed and come up with, every idea that anybody ever espoused, everything is just right there. And in all of that, the Lord says, will I find a people that cry to me day and night? Me, God, the God of the universe, the one that made it all. Now I'm crying to the internet. Now listen, don't say Brother Marty's preaching against the internet. I'm not. But there's a God that's better than the internet.
Yes.
There's a God that's better. You know, I heard when it first came out, this is a bit of information, but when the internet was first being put out, the symbol of the internet was supposed to have been a little tower. The Tower of Babel. And the claims was, what God destroyed, we'll build again. What do you think of that? That's pretty blasphemous to me. All the information they can put on there is not a fraction to what God has. And he can't touch, none of it can get down to the soul or do anything to the soul. Listen, it's a good tool. We got it on hands. It can be used, not misused. But are we still going to be a people that cry to God? Or am I going to be somebody that numbs myself with the things of this world? I know, me and my wife talk about it at a time. I can get into this thing. People use entertainments.
Yes.
In a place where the Lord should be. You know, I told my wife this a number of times. You can use food that way. Honestly, food's that way in our day and time. Eat a big meal here at the house. I'll go sit down. Nothing going on. No, we something was going on. Hey, honey, you give me a bowl of cereal? You just ate. I know, but for a moment, what time it takes me to eat a bowl of cereal anyway, I'm satisfied. I'm tasting, I'm eating, and all's well. And as soon as it's over, and I'm disappointed. Because it's over. And give me a few minutes. I say, is there any popcorn left? You just had cereal. People spend their whole life doing that. Give me another something. Give me another song. Give me another entertainment. Listen to something. Do something. Listen to something. And it isn't any wonder to my mind that the Lord didn't said, will there be a people that cry unto me? Night and day. There was a man in the scriptures named Noah. Noah was given a big charge.
Yeah.
Can you imagine this? 120. You know, it can be exciting. Lord comes to you and says, listen, I'm going to flood the earth, Noah. And I'm going to give you time. My spirit won't always drive by men, but I'm going to give you a time. And I want you to build an ark, and this is how I want you to build it. Wow, God just spoke to me. He's going to flood the earth. That's pretty exciting. I got something to do. Build a boat. Never built a boat before. But God will help us. That'll be good. Come on, boys. I'm going to build another. Well, the first week, things are going pretty good. It's pretty exciting. How long we got to do this, Dad? Oh, we only got 119 years left, son. 119 years? Well, it goes pretty good for a while, but then what? Are you, Noah, are you going to make it? Are you going to be able to endure? Are you going to be able to endure the time? Are you going to be as enthused 60 years from now?
Yes.
60 years from now. Young people, listen to me. You might be starting today saying, I want to serve the Lord. Keep it right. Keep it alive. Keep it real. Because it takes years sometimes. I don't know when the Lord's coming back. I don't know what your life means. But keep it right. Because it may be a long haul. And Lord, help us. And Noah held true. Still laboring away. Still laboring away. What the Lord. I just wonder if he had to go and get... You think he ever had to go get revived? Lord, I'm so tired of building this thing. Ain't seen no rain. I've nothing to do it. Maybe the Lord would give a little bit of something to make it say, here it is. Maybe he would inspire him. You know, he did it to the saving of his house. That's what the Bible says he did. He done it to the saving of his family. That whole deal was to save and spare his family from the flood that was coming. And he worked to do it. I wonder how many times he had to be recharged. You know, it isn't a bad thing. Sometimes a preacher comes along and says something to us parents and says something to them about how us dropping the ball will really drop it for the next generation. We got kind of a tender spot for them children, don't we? Yeah. And we start thinking, well, I don't want my children to be lost. And kind of make you think about it. Noah was a long time doing it, but at the end of it, he was still faithful. He was still living for the Lord and calling on him. So Lord, help us. Oh, and we'll look at another scripture. Oh, it's familiar. Hebrews 11 and 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You believe that?
Yes, amen.
Well, what if you don't diligently seek him? What if you just kind of seek him? I'm asking a sincere question.
Yes.
Because the scripture says something. You must first believe that he is. That is paramount. What is he? What is he? There's some attributes that you can't mention God without the understanding of. He is omnipotent. Well, he's all wise, all powerful, all present. You can't go into the realms of God without that. God is love. That's where it becomes personal to us. Without that understanding and knowledge, you don't really go anywhere. That this is God. You must believe that he is. God is in existence. I've said this many times about people that say about the creation. We've got to believe that God created the universe. I mean, I'm a dead believer in what the Bible says in Genesis. I mean, I just believe it. I don't have any way to argue it. It's just I believe it. If he didn't do it, who did? That's the bottom line. If he didn't do it, who did? Well, he did. I believe that. He must believe that he is. I believe that he is. But that's only half the equation. As of about 10, 15 years ago, I don't know what it is now, but there was 87% of the people polled in the U.S. still believed that there was a God. Believed in God. But that's only half the equation. The other half is you must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder.
Yes.
How am I going to get that reward, though? Again, it flies in the face of the idea that some suppose that there's not a part that we play. I've been running into that. that somehow we don't play a part in it. It's all under the sovereignty of God. God made us a free will. It's obvious that he did. We have a will and a choice. And we can use it to seek God, whether or not. And we can do it diligent. Lord, help us to be diligent. I will say this. I think there is an idea that goes along with it. This is the way I like to explain the whole thing. It's like the electric coming into this building. The lights won't come on unless we turn them on. But we don't take the credit for the lights burning. I mean, honestly, do we? I mean, I can say, well, I turned the lights on, so I'm making them burn. No, not. It's the electric coming through the filaments that's making them light. It's the power that does it. It's the same way with God. God gets all the glory. Yeah. I don't get no glory for turning the switch on. It's the electric that does it. It's God's power that gives us grace and authority and blessings. No, just because he allows me to have the opportunity to turn it on, don't make me the important in it. But it still makes it happen because I choose it. Yes. To diligently seek God. He is a rewarder. When we don't, let me get you another, if I can remember this scripture, just come to me. Yeah, it's in Philippians. Philippians, the 4th chapter. And I'm going to tell you this scripture, I'll just have to say, it's a challenge to me and my nature. And I need the Lord to help me in this these areas, Philippians 4. In 6. Be careful for nothing. Now, of course, there's things that we're to be careful for. The Bible teaches us to be careful for our souls. We're to be careful with those around us. We're to be careful to be take care of the duties of life. The things that pertain to supporting our families, that kind of stuff. That's not what this is talking about. But this is a challenge to me to live faithful to. Because by nature, I'm a worrier. And there's a suggestion here that we not be. Yes. And there's a reason why a worrier don't have to worry. It's because there's a God. And I need help with it. I'll just tell you, there's a place. I need help with this. This is a place. But be careful in nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication. Let me see if I got some definitions here. Prayer. Solemn application to. From a sense of want. Supplication. Continue earnest. Continuing earnestly. It sounds like what he said before. It sounds like the same place. Will I find faith on the earth? Or will I find a bunch of worriers? Lord, help us. Is God become real? It's a great challenge because I got a strange way of looking at stuff through reason and practical looking at it. And it's hard on me sometimes to be in church service to where we come with a Bible study or a preaching message that comes and enlightens us about God and walk out the door and live different. To walk out the door and after proclaiming under the roof of the chapel of what God is and what he does, and walk out the front door and act like he ain't any of that. Mm-hmm. Lord, help us. What does it really say about what God is? You remember when the disciples were in the boat, And the sea was rough and Jesus was asleep. They got so anxious about things they could not control. Folks, listen. This is what this is talking about. We're not like the world without faith. We're not. We're to be a people that has an application of God in our lives.
Yes.
And where I can't, God can. I've seen Him do this so many times in my life. Lord, help me. I've seen Him do this so many times. The first time I ever left home to go to a meeting, I was going to Holly Hill. And we're going along, and I was so thankful to just be going for the Lord. Going, had this old van. It didn't matter. Old van, new van. Make no difference. It's God. To me, I was going with God. Well, the transmission went out in it, going down about halfway. North Wilkesboro, North Carolina, still don't remember where it went out. I go drifting off to the side of the road. And of course, you know, you get your expectations dampened real quick with something like that. You're going to a meeting, all of a sudden, bang, and let's go, and you pull over beside the road. And you know, as soon as I pulled over beside the road, I hadn't had no anxious thought about it. This was happening. And about that time, the clearest voice came to me and said, "Is that all He can do?" Just as plain. Is that all God can do? And I'm going to tell you, the devil made one big mistake with that statement. I never thought about it much until he said that. And my faith took hold and I said, no, that's not all He can do. God can do anything. Amen. Sit and worry about this situation.
Yeah.
It's a situation. God's the master of situations. Sit and worry about what I can't control. I was at home. The Lord took care of that perfectly. Then people down there at Northwood, they tried to get me to buy transmissions. They'd done this. It was that. This was wrong with it. That's wrong with it. I ended up going on to the meeting. Brother John was there, so we doubled up. We all went down to the meeting. Come back. Went home. I pulled that thing. And you know the Lord paid for that down to the penny. The Lord took care of that so wonderfully and showed me He could do it. God's God. God's God. Another time I worked in the coal mines. I was getting ready to go. It was midnight or before 11. I was getting ready to go work. And an awful fear came over me. It was winter. I had built a fire, wood fire in the home. And this devil brought this feeling on me about the house is going to burn down. You ever, anybody else ever have those things that feel real to you? The house is, you leave in that firelight, the house is going to burn down. And your wife and your children, they'll be burned. Well, that's what it comes to me. I bit in on it too. I really did. I bit in on it. And I started worrying and it bothered me. And then this spatial voice that we know said, this is the way it come to me. What would you do if you stayed but burn up with them? But just that's the way it came to me. And you know, I committed that. I got down, committed it to the Lord.
Yes.
And went on with peace. And the house, I'm going to tell y'all, the house didn't burn down and the children didn't burn up. They never did burn up. But it was all anxious. It was all an anxious thought. And that's why it's damaging. It's damaging to our souls.
Yes.
But it's beyond that. And it goes back to the same scripture, will I find faith on the earth? Listen, this is what it goes back to. What is God? If I'm a Christian and I'm going around with the worry that circumstance can take my house and burn up my children and there's nothing can be done. If I'm going along and circumstances is that I can't make it to Guthrie without a car wreck that's going to kill us all. If that's the way I'm living, then what's God? It comes to the same point. The disciples are in the ship and they say, Lord, they come to him, do you not care if we perish? What an accusation. Are you what you said you are? You're the Son of God. You don't care if we perish? You can't perish here. Be careful for nothing. There's a God.
Yes.
This doesn't mean that we're foolish or that we tempt God. It means that we live what we say. There is a God in heaven. And when the circumstances are bigger than we are, when it's too much for us, and when it comes to certain things that God declared for himself and him alone, then why should I fret? Are we doubting? What portion of God are we doubting? His wisdom? His power? Or his love? Are we doubting he can't get there in time? What are we doubting about him? This says in this is what I wrote this down from somewhere. It said, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Without this, he has not promised to help us. Without this, he has not promised to help you. Let me think of that. What we think of the promises of God. This is what's contingent on the promise.
Yes.
Lord, help us. Again, I see many people that claim that promise. Well, I claim that promise. God said, if you'll be my people, I'll be your God. Not if you won't be my people, I'll be your God. There's always a part for us, folks. Lord, help us to be determined to make heaven our home and not quit. The word, the idea of care, or be careful for nothing, distrust or want of confidence in any doubt of power or ability or disposition, of power, providence, and faithfulness of God. So when we doubt that, we're really going right to the character of what God is and who he is. Saints should cast their care on the Lord and carry every care to him and leave it there. You pray for me, I want to be faithful.